Before I begin, I wanted to give a thank you to the esteemed Reverend Crystal Devine for sharing the pulpit with me. Not a lot of churches do this for people, and so I recognize the great honor that this is. And I also just want to give a quick shout out to the wifey. Thank you. So we as a church community have been engaging and have been in a season of Sabbath, of learning how to and why we need to Sabbath and why we're called to Sabbath by God. All I want to do today is share with y'all what I felt God press on my spirit as I've been Sabbathing. It's a word that I'm still wrestling with. It's a word that I've been wrestling with for a while, but I just felt God say, like, you need to talk about this today, and so that's what I'm doing. Hopefully, all of us would have ears to hear what God has to say to us today. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me to Psalm 137? If you don't, it should be up on the screen, and I will be reading it for us. Psalm 137. Alongside Babylon's streams, there we sat down, crying because we remembered Zion. We hung our lyres up in the trees there, because that's where our captors asked us to sing. Our tormentors requested songs of joy. Sing us a song about Zion, they said. But how could we possibly sing the Lord's song on a foreign soil? Jerusalem, if I forget you, let my strong hand wither. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I don't remember you, if I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy. Lord, remember what the Edomites did on Jerusalem's dark day. Rip it down, rip it down! All the way to its foundations, they yelled. Daughter Babylon, you destroyer, a blessing on the one who pays you back the very deed you did to us. A blessing on the one who seizes your children and smashes them against the rock. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me?
How long, O God, must I wait on you? All of my hopes and my dreams have been stolen from me. When will you come and break these chains off me? And help me fly away from here.
God, we are here and we are waiting for you. God, we've been here a long time. We've been waiting a long time. And we are still waiting for you. The joy of the past seems so distant, and the promises that you spoke seem so far away. But God, we still wait for you. God, we wait with those who can no longer wait. We join in the chorus, the choruses of laments that are crying out from cages in this country. God, we are waiting for you. We need you to show up in this place. We've waited too long. God, would you come? Would you speak? And may your word ring out from this place and break the chains that the enemy has placed on us. Amen. So, Psalm 137. My God, this is such a heavy psalm. This psalm honestly has gotten me through a lot of divinity school. This psalm has gotten me through a lot of really hard times in my life. You know, it's so hard growing up in churches where so much of what we're taught to do is, hey, just believe. Jesus got you. Just believe. Everything will be okay. But I wonder what happened to the faith, to a type of faith where God actually beckons us to come, beckons us to steal away into the quiet place, to cry out and say, God, how long do I have to wait? How long do I have to wait in this place? And these words are so powerful to me because they're raw, they're honest, and they're unrelenting. And I can't help but wonder what the hell happened to this writer and the writer's community, and why is there so much pain? And then I realized oftentimes good art, good music, good anything that is good will make you ask questions, will make you wonder. So this psalm, Psalm 137, is located during a very precarious time. It's located during a time that we have called the Babylonian exile. If you're unfamiliar with this history, there was an empire that rose up, and they were aided by the Edomites. And basically, they went into the holy city of Jerusalem and destroyed it, along with it, the temple. And I think that idea to us in America is relatively foreign, but that depends on who you are. It wasn't that long ago when churches in the South were on fire, when black churches were on fire. It was a few months ago. It wasn't that long ago when churches all across America were on fire because they dared to resist against the empire. And this is where we find ourselves in this text today. Now, scholars aren't sure 100% where or who wrote this psalm, but what we do know is that the perspective that this writer is writing from is a Levite, is one of those people who will be up in the temple worshiping and praising God day and night. How could we possibly sing the Lord's song on foreign soil? Destruction of the temple, the city Jerusalem, was and still is, in a lot of ways, a deeply traumatic event for Jewish folks. See, the temple, the city of Jerusalem, was their Zion. And Zion was a place where they encountered the living God. Zion was a stable resting place after generations of being nomadic. Zion was a safe haven after being enslaved for generations. Zion was a place of refuge while they were experiencing oppression from both the right and the left. We all have our resting places. We all have our secret places where we go to be with God, to find refuge from the horrors of this world, where we can go and we can rest and we can Sabbath. But friends, what happens when that place where you go to be in secret with God, that place where you go to be saved, that Zion, your Mount Zion, what happens when Zion is stolen from you? What happens when your space of worship is destroyed? What happens when your city, your home, which was once a warm and safe place, has been replaced with ice and cages? In the wake of pillaged temples, cities, and safe havens and sanctuaries, sometimes the only thing you can do is sit, weep, and lament. The psalm is a lament. And we are being beckoned to draw near. We are being beckoned to join in with the songs that they are singing. There are two things about this passage that I think gives us a really great insight into what lament looks like, which I honestly believe that that the church has long forgotten. It's been a long time that we as a collective church has stopped singing our triumphalistic songs, and we started singing the songs of the people who are groaning, people who are hurting. I think the first form of lament, I think that we're all used to, is lament that where one weeps or one cries, where there is anger and there is sorrow. The person I think when I think of this type of lament is Hagar, as she's running away from Sarai. I think of King David, as he's throwing ashes into his hair as he's grieving the death of his son, Absalom. I think of Mike Brown's mother, who's crying on national television, where that's not the place where she should be crying. But there, she is inviting us to lament, inviting us to weep, to cry, to be angry at the injustice of this world. Now, there's another form of lament that is both, it is very haunting and in a weird way beautiful, the how Psalm 137 describes at the very end, where he describes, blessed is the one who sees his children, throws them against the rocks. And I believe that the psalmist was being honest before God, and I believe that they're saying their honest prayers, but I think the thing that they forgot in that moment is that our battle and our war is not against flesh and blood, but it's against Lucifer. It's against the demons that have possessed, that have controlled, that are doing everything that they can to destroy everyone and everything in its path. Our laments begin at weeping, at crying, at anger and sorrow, but eventually they must lead us to a place where we are rising up against Lucifer. We are rising up against the enemy. We are rising up against evil, and we are casting that demon out. My friends, what happened in the Israelites in this story during the Babylonian Empire did not happen in a vacuum, and it did not happen once. When we look at our history alone, the United States history, we realize that this psalm speaks the truth that we all need to hear today. A few days ago, our government decided to allow the Trump administration to use military funds to start building a wall. There are no words to describe the level of sin that we are now engaging in as a nation, as a people. There is a cycle of sin that we are all caught up in. But I need to remind us that this sin has been there since the beginning. This is the sin that we find here in Psalm 137. This is the same sin that put Jesus on the cross. This is the sin that has repeated itself over and over and over again. Even if you look at our history, it wasn't that long ago when we had concentration camps here in America. Before we threw brown children into cages, we were throwing Japanese-American families into cages. And no one really said a word. We are caught in a cycle of sin. And dare I say, we are in possession of the devil. Now, I know that for some of us in this room, that might be jarring for you. That might be going against everything that you were taught to believe. But what else can cause a country, can cause a people to be okay with throwing kids in cages? What else can we, what else would allow us to do these heinous crimes, if not the devil. And that's what I want to invite us into today, is to start viewing these things, not just from a political lens, from even though all these lenses are important, we need to start seeing things the way that Jesus has called us to see these things, as things that are possessed by the enemy. And that when we call upon the blood of Jesus, things can change, that there's a deliverance that needs to happen. We need to start casting out the demons that have possessed our government officials, church leaders, denominations, Department of Homeland Security, ICE, and everyone that is either actively supporting or turning a blind eye to these children being separated from their families, and for them, and all of them being thrown into cages. That, my friends, throwing children into cages is the work of the devil. It is the work of Lucifer, and it must end now. The power of this psalm is that when you look at what they're doing, they hang up their harps and their lyres on trees because their oppressors are telling them to sing songs. And these are Levites, people who are called to worship day and night. So them putting up their lyres, them putting up their harps, their guitars, their instruments, is an act of protest against the Babylonian Empire. They're saying, we will no longer perform for you. We will no longer sing these fake songs of triumph when there are children in cages. We will no longer act like your puppets. We will no longer give you a fake free pass from your guilt because you ask us for it. Church, we are called to sing songs that bring worship to God. But how can we worship when there are children in cages? How can we worship when our city of Durham decided to build a prison instead of building other things that needed to be built? How can we sing songs of worship and joy and thanksgiving and gladness unto God when there are people that we love imprisoned, separated, and being destroyed? We must put up our harps. We must put up our voices. We must put everything that the enemy has been trying to use to keep us silent, to keep us to stop caring, on that tree, on that cross, on that lynching tree where Jesus died for us all. And we must start singing a different song. Throughout Jewish tradition, it was very common for folks when they gathered that they would sing songs of lament together. This psalm itself was actually sung during certain ceremonies and during certain meals together. This was part of the DNA of the people. And I believe as we engage with the psalm more and more, we need to start realizing that God no longer receives our fake worship. God no longer receives our fake triumphalistic songs. God now only receives the cries of the oppressed and the hurt and the broken and the children in cages. So fam, it's time to be honest. Are we going to keep singing these fake songs? Are we going to keep lying to ourselves? Lying to our neighbors, lying to this world? Or are we going to be honest and start singing these songs of lament that need to be cried out? Because, my friends, there will come a time when the Spirit of God will press upon you and me and all of us in this room to go to the border, go to all these detention centers, and start breaking down physical walls, and to start breaking down physical chains, physical bars, and set these kids free. But until that day comes, until you hear that cry from the Lord, I invite all of you to join in with this song, to stop singing fake worship, and to start crying out to God for these kids.